So I'll open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's all stand together. Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight. Contrary to what it looks like, Pastor did not choose who was preaching tonight by those that weigh 300 pounds. So I made that observation while we were all preaching. And he could have said we're bringing in the big preachers tonight. That would have been good advertising. But anyways. I mean, Nehemiah chapter 4. And it was 9 years ago, was my very first time preaching here at the church on Watch Night service. And so thankful for that opportunity. We weren't on staff at the time. We were just working at Good News Mission and all the Lord has done since then. So thankful for this church, the impact so many of y'all have had in my life, and all that God's done in the past 9 years. Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll just read verse 14. It says, "Then I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." We'll stop there. Lord, I love you, God. Thank you for the day you've given us. And thank you, Lord, for just the blessing it is to be here together tonight. Lord, for the message that we've already heard. Lord, just so thankful for, Lord, just what we've got from each and every one of those. God, I pray that you be with us tonight. Lord, as we're closing out, I pray, God, you give us exactly what you have for us from your word. Feed us. Lord, be with me as I preach. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. We look here in Nehemiah, and we see the people were in the process of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And looking at what needed to take place there, this would have been very difficult, backbreaking work. This would have been something that was hard, a very hard job for those that were involved, but it was necessary if they were going to be safe from the enemy, if they were going to worship freely as God had commanded them to do so. And as we look here, and they continue to build the walls, they faced constant opposition to the work that was there for them. No doubt as they were building, they became weary. They became discouraged for the job that was at hand and for the enemy fighting back at them and talking to them as they were, but they never stopped their work. And eventually they completed the task and were victorious over the attackers that were there. As we're looking at this story and looking for some application to our church, we are wall builders as well. Each and every one of us need to be building walls in our life to protect us from the things of this world, to protect us from the attacks of the enemy, to protect our families. Our children need homes with strong walls. Our children need homes that are protected from the things of this world. We need walls in our personal life and our personal walk with God. And just like we find the Israelites here in Nehemiah chapter 4, there will be times when we're weary. There will be times when we may feel like giving up. There may be times where we grow discouraged. There's some truths in here tonight that I want to show you very quickly on how we can be strong wall builders in our life. The first thing we find here in this passage is that there will always be opposition. There will always be opposition. You know, if we're truly serving the Lord with dedication, with fervency, we can be assured that trouble will rise. If we are trying to live for God, if we are trying to live according to the Word of God, we can be sure that testing is going to come, that opposition is going to come in our life. And the Bible says, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The first place that it comes is from the outside. We look here in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." In verse 3, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." The Israelites are there building the wall, and Sanballat and Tobiah came to them there at the wall, and they began to taunt them. They began to mock what they were doing and tell them how ridiculous it was. And there in verse 3, Tobiah came to them and he said, "Hey, you know that wall, I know you're trying to build something strong that'll protect you, but if a fox walked up it, it would break. A fox could knock down what you are building. It is nothing. It's not going to last. It's not going to help." They faced this mockery. You know, a lot of what we believe seems crazy to the unsaved. A lot of the choices that we have to make in our daily walk, in our daily life, a lot of the choices and separation that we have to make seem crazy to the world. There's going to be mockery. If we're going to be wall builders, we need to be aware that that opposition, that mockery is going to be there. At the workplace, if you decide to take a stand in one area or another, you may face some of that. If there's some conversations that shouldn't be taking place and you take a stand or you don't participate, you don't laugh at a joke, you may face some ridicule, some mockery over something like that. Here at this time of year, we spend a lot of time with families, and you may have some unsaved family or some family that has gone away from the things of God, and as you're with them, there may be times where they may make fun of you or mock you for not taking part or not doing things that they may do. Those of you that are in college and you're there on the campuses, there's going to be times of testing in this area. Those of you may have a neighbor that looks like they haven't made, and they have all these things, and because of choices that you've made different than them, you don't have exactly what they have, and they may try to persuade you, try to pull you, try to mock the choices that you made in your life. We're going to have it. It's going to come by mockery, by intimidation. Look there in verse 7. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Verse 11, and our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You know, those who do not know the Lord are often the first to attack the lives that we live. And in the day and age that we live in, we may reach a point where the world not only mocks us, but intimidates us to make a choice or to change a stance that is contrary to the beliefs of the world. We're seeing it in the news. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You know, the government may one day threaten a choice to be made or else. You know, one day you may be at the job place and somebody may have heard that you don't agree with a certain stance, or you don't agree with the lifestyle of someone that you work with, and you may be forced to make a decision, choose to support it or choose to find another job. One day, I don't know, I hope it doesn't happen in our lifetime, but one day it might. Your children may be forced to make a decision or face imprisonment. There may be these decisions, these intimidations that come, this pressure that comes to try to force us to get off path of what God has us to do. There'll be pressure from without. We need to be aware of it. It's going to come. But we also find not only did they have pressure from the outside, but they had pressure from within. We look there in verse 6. It says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. They were building the wall. They were doing exactly what God wanted them to do. They were doing exactly what they needed to do. Just a few verses later, verse 10, it says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. They made a decision. They were going to build. They were going to protect their families. They were going to build the wall that God had them to build. And after a while, it began to be difficult. After a while, they started to look, and you know what? This isn't as strong as we thought it was. And you know, we've been kind of told this before, and we're kind of seeing it for ourselves. And I'm looking around. There's a lot of rubbish. There's a lot of garbage here. I just don't think that we can do this. I don't think that we can build as God wants us to build. You know what, Nehemiah? I think this was a bad decision. I think we should probably pull back and reevaluate. There may be someone here tonight that made a decision for God. Someone here that made a commitment to refrain from something or to do something or to surrender to whatever it is God had you to do. And after a while, you began to see, hey, it's harder than I thought. This is difficult. After facing some opposition, after some ridicule, some persecution, you know what, maybe I should just reevaluate. Maybe I should take a step back and change a little bit. Maybe I should, you know, not be so in on what I've been doing and you know, still love God, still come to church, but not quite like it was before. You can't live for God today as you used to. There was fear in the people. They said the strength of the burden bearers is decayed. There's so much garbage, we can't get the job done with this garbage here. You know, sometimes we focus more on the rubbish than on the job at hand. Sometimes we focus more on the rubbish in our lives and see it looks a little too difficult for us instead of what God has us to do. There may be a problem in your marriage tonight. You know that God would have you to stay together. You know that God would have you to look to Him and to seek His help and to have the marriage that He wants you to be, but you see too much rubbish, too much difficulty to get to where it needs to be. You may look at your family and you had some kids, you were trying to raise them right, and you made these decisions to keep them on track and to be the people that God wanted them to be, but some things happened, some things got in the way, and you know they're far off from where you'd like them to be, from where God would have them to be, but instead of trying to help and to do something, there's just too much rubbish. I've tried this, but it's just too big of a mess, too many things to take care of. May focus more on the mess and not on the promises of God. They said that, you know, Nehemiah, our adversaries can come at any moment. We have this wall half built and we have all these problems. Why in the world are we spending our time doing this? We need to be ready for the enemy. You know, one reason that they had this fear was that they were extremely close to the enemy. We look there in verse 12. We know that the enemy was mocking them this whole time. Verse 12 says, "And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence shall return unto us, they will be upon you." They repeated and repeated and repeated, "Hey, we're coming. We're coming. We're going to get you." They continued to hear this mockery. They continued to hear these threatenings. And the more time they spent with the enemy, the more difficult it became and more discouraged they came. You know, Satan's going to try to discourage. He's going to try to get in and to discourage you from doing what it is God wants you to do. And when the devil is doing that, resist him and submit to God. They had begun to believe the words of the enemy. They had a wrong focus. You know, our focus doesn't need to be on the mess around us. Our focus should be on Christ. Our focus doesn't need to be on how difficult the job may be, how difficult the life of the Christian is. It needs to be on God and His purpose. You know, our standard that we need to live by is not the modern family, the self-help books, the other families on the soccer team, the successful neighbor. Our focus, our standard should be Christ. We need to know opposition will come. Secondly, we must be prepared to fight. You know, our faith is worth fighting for. You know, their enemy did not want them worshiping God. Their enemy had a very clear understanding of what their God was capable of. And if they built these walls, if they protected themselves, if they got to where they were able to freely worship as they wanted to, who knows what's going to happen? So their enemy was persecuting. Their enemy was trying to stop them. And with all this persecution, all these things, Nehemiah realized their faith was worth fighting for. Look there at verse 14. He says, "Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses." Nehemiah took a stand. Tonight I want to encourage you, earnestly contend for the faith. We need to fight for what we have left. We need to recover those things that we've lost. We need to fight our own spiritual battles in our life. You know, we cannot complain about what's happening in society if we are not fighting for what is right happening in our families. We can't complain about how wicked the world is getting when our personal walk with God is not where it needs to be. We need to fight for our faith. We need to build those walls in our life. We need to fight the enemy. We need to press on for God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, take heed unto thyself. Search your own heart. Look in your own life. Look at changes that need to be made. You know, we can't excuse our own behavior on somebody else. We have a free nature and we have to choose to fight our own battles. Spend time in the Word of God. There needs to be a fervency there. Our faith's worth fighting for. Not only is our faith worth fighting for, but our families are worth fighting for. You know, Nehemiah reminded them that they weren't really fighting for themselves and their freedom of worship. They were fighting for their wives, for their sons, their daughters, for those around them. And they knew that if they didn't build these walls, if they weren't ready to defend themselves from the enemy, they would perish. We need to fight for our families. There's so many enemies in the home. There's so many things that, if we're not careful, we can allow to creep in that can destroy our home. Get into the lives and hearts of our children, things that'll tempt them, things that'll bring them down, things that'll get them off of where God would have them to be. There's so many things, we need to fight them. Anger does not need to be in the Christian home. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And we are not to speak to our children with hateful speech, but with love. Helping them discover what is right and punishing them when necessary, but doing it with love, not with anger. Apathy. So many people just tend to give up and to not pay attention, seem to care about what is happening. Don't be apathetic in your walk with God and in the life of your family. Be present in the home. There's a statistic, parents are spending 40% less time with their children than they did years ago. Children need a relationship with their parents. They need guidance from their parents. Because if they don't get it from you, they're going to get it from somewhere else. Stay involved. Fight for your families. Our faith, our families, our future is worth fighting for. You know, Nehemiah knew that if they caved, if they gave up at this time, that they would be overcome and they would not be able to worship God in Jerusalem again. He knew that he got before the people there in verse 14, the time to fight is now. We need to fight the decay in our society. You know, the answer for Christians is not reclusiveness. It's not our church getting together and buying thousands of acres in southern Indiana and having a combine. That's not the answer to the safety of our families. It is being a light in the world. Being a light to your family. Raising your children to the nurture and admonition of God. Having them in church. Reading your Bibles together. Praying for each other. Our future is worth fighting for. We know Jesus, so we know what he has done for us. Let others know about him. Our future is worth fighting for. We need to know there's opposition. Know there are things worth fighting for. And the last thing tonight, we need to know how to fight. Know how to fight. Just four things quickly I want to give you, and we'll be done tonight. The first one is be prayerful. Be prayerful. Look there in verse 4. It says, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. He prayed. He went to God on the behalf of the people. He was seeking the help of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, let your requests be made known unto God. Every detail, every area, every relationship, every part of our life needs to be bathed in prayer. If we're going to fight the enemy, we need to be people of prayer. If we're going to be successful in our Christian life, if we're going to be the Christians that God wants us to be, if our walls are going to be built up, we must pray. And he said there in Philippians chapter 4, as you take these things to prayer, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's some things that you're dealing with tonight that you can't go through on your own. There's some decisions you may have to make. There's some guidance you need to give someone, a child or family member, a friend. There's some help that you, some things you need to do, some help that you have that you can't do on your own. The Bible tells us in the book of James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. When we need wisdom, when we need strength, when we need that guidance, we have a God that says if we ask him for it, he'll give it to us liberally. As much as we want, he won't run out. We have to ask him. One of my favorite things about this Christmas season was our little twin, not the big twin, the little one, Ruby. She asked us for a present that caught us off guard and made us laugh. One thing that she really wanted for Christmas was a llama that you hit with a stick and candy comes out. It was adorable. A Christmas morning, she came downstairs and she saw a llama that you hit with a stick and candy comes out. You know, she would have never received that if she wouldn't have asked for it. There's so many things in your life that you desire of God. There's so many blessings that you desire in your life that you don't have. It's because you haven't asked for it. There's wisdom that you need right now that you don't have because you haven't asked for it. If you want it, you can ask. He giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, it shall be given him. But we're not praying as we should. We need to be prayerful. The second thing, we need to be alert. Prayer should always be paired with watchfulness. Shortly before Jesus died on the cross, he was speaking to Peter, something we know very well, and he spoke to Peter and he said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He was giving Peter a warning. Saying, Peter, the devil wants to turn your life about. He wants to throw it in the air. He wants it to be just scattered in pieces. He wants it to be destroyed. What did Peter say? No, not me, God. I love you. That's not going to happen to me. It happened. We find Peter in his old age, in the book of 2 Peter writing, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter learned from that mistake in his life that the devil was trying to get him, that the devil was going to tempt him, the devil was trying to sift him as wheat, and he needed to be alert. He needed to be ready. He needed to be watching. We look here in verse 9 of our text, nevertheless we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Nehemiah knew that they needed to watch for the enemy. Nehemiah knew these people wanted to destroy them. They wanted to stop them from worshiping God. They wanted to keep them from having that temple, from being able to worship God freely. So they had to watch. Be alert in your life, in your walk with God. Those things that the devil has gotten you with before, he's going to try to get you again. There's going to be snares in your life, in your walk tomorrow possibly. There's going to be temptations that come in your life. There's going to be unexpected things that happen. We need to be alert. We need to be prayerful. We need to be alert. Thirdly, we need to be prepared. Look at verse 17. It says, then they which builded on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laded every one with whose hands wrought in the work, the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Verse 20, it says, in what place therefore ye heard the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Everyone needed to be building the wall. And he said, but if you got a hammer in your hand, you need to have a sword in the other. If you're digging around the wall, if you're setting the foundation, make sure you have your weapon in your other hand. A hammer in one hand, a sword in the other. They needed to be prepared for fighting. The Bible tells in the book of Ephesians that we need to have the whole armor of God. Not just the things we think we need, but the whole armor of God. There was an importance here for their building of the wall to be successful, for them to be prepared for every circumstance. Really, we have a promise in the Word of God, walking in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God has told us how we can be prepared to defeat the lust of the flesh. Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we prepared in our daily walk? The last thing, be determined. Be determined. These people were determined for this wall to be built. Nehemiah was leading them on what needed to be done for this task to be completed. And they had a plan. They had people watching for the enemy. They had people with trumpets ready to blow them. They had guys hammering down, and they had their sword in the other hand. They had guys, everybody ready to go, prepared. And one of my favorite things is here in verse 23. He says, "So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing." You know what they did? They wore dirty clothes. They didn't change. I'm sure that caused problems in the home. They kept their fighting clothes on. Said, I don't care of the discomfort it's going to cause me. I don't care how uncomfortable it may be at times. I'm going to be prepared. It's not always comfortable making the choice God wants you to make. It's not always easy. You may be uncomfortable living right for God in different times, but it's what's right. And in our walk with God, in our wall building, in our desire to protect our children and desire to protect our own walk with God, we need to be determined. How determined are you? It's worth it. You know, the world we live in is wicked. And the devil's out there as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if we are not building walls of protection in our life, if we're not fighting the enemy, we're going to be defeated. So no matter what, remember God. Don't be distracted by the rubbish. Don't be distracted by the enemy, by the complaining of others. But be determined to build a wall and fight for your family. Look at verse 14. "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God. Thank you for who you are. What you've done for us, Lord, for your word. And God, I pray tonight that we would all be here tonight determined, God, to be the Christians you'd have us to be, to build the walls that you'd have us to build. But I pray that each and every one of us tonight, as God, as we're ending this decade and moving on to another, God, that we would evaluate our own heart and our life tonight and make changes where necessary. But I pray that we would, Lord, be determined to fight for our own spiritual life, to fight for our faith, to fight for our families, to fight for the future of your church, God, and of our families. Bless us in the invitation. We ask this in your name. Amen.